In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. It's lovely to see you all sitting so close together today. We learn to love each other, and so the closer we get, the better. It's lovely to see some folks we haven't seen for a very long time, so welcome today. Good to have you here at St. Andrew's. Do you know what we had here yesterday? We had a wedding, yeah. So the church was packed. Over there, over here, here, up there, everywhere. Wonderful band. The service lasted 2 hours. I was totally exhausted. Do you know, I was so blessed, really, because one, we've got a beautiful building here with the colour and the glass and the shape and the sun that comes in. Even yesterday, we've got a bell tower, so we can ring the bells at the end of the wedding. A lot of churches don't have a bell tower, particularly these days. Only one person we need to ring all 8 bells. That's a gift, isn't it? Normally you need 8, one person. And we've got the large hall next door, so if we wanted to extend, we could just pull the screen back and we can sit 800 people. And then they went off to the youth centre for drinks and for cake and celebration. And we've got the field, so they could spill out into the field. And it didn't rain. And we had the gazebos up. So it was a wonderful celebration. And so I was keen to keep things here because also today we're celebrating Coolin and Chris's 50th wedding anniversary. You must tell us how you did it. You must tell your grandchildren how you did it. We need your counsel. So well done. Well done. And on Friday, 2 people are getting married here as well. Who are they? Michael and Renee, and they're here today. Stand up. Right, so listen, whatever you do, what time are we meeting on Friday? 1:30, thank you. 1:30, great. Make sure you pray for them. Thank you. That their marriage will be blessed, full of joy, and be lifelong. And in being blessed, they will bless others. So we pray for you. And if you can be here on Friday, come and join the celebration. It will be a shorter service, I can tell you that. I took my son, Sam, ice skating, at Christmas once, a couple of times more. He was always very good on his feet, skilled footballer. And when we were at this place somewhere in North London, I couldn't work out why he couldn't skate properly. He kept falling over constantly. Our girls were managing it beautifully. I was just about coping, but he kept falling over. Any idea why he was falling over? Pardon?
He didn't have his boots tied.
No, almost. Ow, beautiful. He had his skates on the wrong feet. So it's very difficult to skate with skates on the wrong feet. Because they're stiff, aren't they? And he fell over. And then we put his skates on the right feet. And he sailed by. Now that's a metaphor for you to think about. Because you see, most of us in life are a bit like Sam. Our life doesn't really get together. Or we fall over. It, like in our reading, we are like branches that are withering all the time. We struggle from one difficulty to the next. We don't have a lot of joy. Some of us can be relatively wealthy. We can be well healed. We can come here in church in a fabulous car. You may be paid well. But somehow there's a disconnect. There's a struggle. in our heart, we just don't, well, why is it all the time? It goes from one struggle to the next, one fear to something else, and the whole of our life can be like that. And I would say that the majority of us here today are like that. And the reason for that, come back to the metaphor, is because perhaps we are trying to skate with our skates on the wrong feet. We never really get it together. Things come our way. Sickness, struggle, loss, fear, heartache, finances, breakup of relationships, struggle with our kids. Goes on. Why is it we just can't get this life together? Maybe today you were like me, perhaps you sit here and there's an ache here in your heart. You go back maybe to struggles this week, Monday to Friday. You live with a constant fear. Why is that? I want to tell you why. Hear this. The reason that we don't see much joy, real joy, is because you've not really learnt to skate properly with the shoes on the right feet. So you constantly fall and there's always a struggle. The reason is because you've not learnt to do something that the Bible calls abide. Abide. It's not a word that we use very much. But it means to patiently wait with. Abide means to patiently wait with. It means to patiently wait with. And in our reading, Jesus gives us a wonderful indication. If you want to live a life of joy, if you want to skate properly, if you want to really have a peace here and move on from the struggle, and most of you won't, because you'll go from here and you'll think of something else. If you want to have that, you've got to learn what it means to abide. So there are two significant things. Three. What does it mean to abide? In our reading, it says, first of all, you've got to abide in my words. You've got to abide in my word, says Jesus. You've got to abide in my word. If you want to go from the relentless fear and struggle, you've got to abide in my words. You've got to stay with them. You've got to wait patiently with my words. What's the words? That means if you've not got a regular daily place where you read the scripture and you let it feed you, you let it build your life, you let it become really part of you, then you will live constantly with a struggle and you will skate badly. I can guarantee here that the majority of people don't read the scripture and don't stay in the word. They don't wait patiently with the word daily and let it feed them. If you do, you will move on from the struggle. He said, you've got to stay in the word. You've got to let it become part of you. I know people who've been going to church for years and years and years. They come to communion, they come Sunday by Sunday, but they live lives of anxiety and worry and concern. They live like the rest of the world, us. But they've never really learnt to abide in his word. Just stay with it and let it speak to you. You see, there's a reason that in the pews we have the scripture. Because this is our guidance and our wisdom and our comfort and our
compass for the whole of our life. So if Lyndon is constantly in a struggle and skating badly, it's because he hasn't learned to really abide in the word. I mean this. And you go from Sunday to Sunday, you might get something by coming here, but unless daily you're abiding in the word, you will constantly struggle. And you'll be like the rest of the world. You will skate badly. So, lesson one. Lesson one also for a long marriage, if you really get it. We've got to learn what it means to abide, to wait patiently in the word.
You might not listen. You might go back to the life that you constantly live, fallen over. But if you really want to find peace in your life, joy, you've got to abide in the word. You might be very involved in the church here, doing all sorts of stuff. Thank you. You might be wonderfully busy in your life and blessed. But unless you've really learnt to abide in the word and let it become part of you, so you stay with it, you listen to it, you let it speak to you, and you open your life to God, you will skate badly. Abide in my word. Abide in my love. What does that mean? Well, you see, you need to know who you really are. We say this so often, but you need to hear it again perhaps, that you're not your job. You're not your money. You're not your car. You're not your culture. You're not your success or your failure. You're not your cancer, your divorce, your pain, your worry. You're not your stage of life, young, old, retired. You're not past it. You're not an addict. You're not your significant loss. You're not your breakup of your marriage. Who are you? You're not your university, you're not your degree, you're not the school that you went to, you're not your A-levels, you're not Oxford or Cambridge or your PhD. Who are you? At your baptism, you are a child of God. That's who you are. So when it says remaining in my love, that means knowing who you really are. You're a child of God. You're beloved. You're called to be and you're loved. And if you want to learn to skate properly, you have to learn to also understand that remain in his words and also know that you are beloved, you are a child of God. So get this. If you want to live a life free of the struggle, you've got to learn also just to listen to his voice say to you, child of God. Child of God, child of God, child of God. And how do we get that, hear that voice? You have to learn to pray. You have to stop. You have to sit. You have to wait patiently. You have to abide in that place that says, child of God. So if you have not really got a prayer life, and you don't know that, you'll just be like the rest of the world. You'll just skate badly. And until you've got a centered life where you hear the voice of God saying to you, child of God, child of God, child of God, you will just live constantly without any peace and without any joy. You will not live freely. You'll be like the rest of them. You've got to hear the voice. And pray ultimately. This is prayer. Prayer ultimately is not asking God for this, that, and the other. Will you do this? Will you do that? Prayer ultimately is just sitting there and listening to the voice of the Father say, child of God. And when you know that, you have everything.
You have everything, because that's all you need. And you can go from that place and live in the world, and you can come all into face with all sorts of other struggles and difficulty, but it won't matter, because you'll know who you are, child of God. And that's why Jesus was able to sustain his ministry. That's why he went to the quiet place constantly, away from the crowd, and he just listened to the voice of the Father saying, child of God. The secret to escape properly is to abide in the Word and to hear the voice of God, abide in his love that says to you, child of God, child of God, child of God. And if you know that, it will sustain you through everything. But you don't, because maybe you don't abide in the Scripture, my words, and abide in his love, hearing his voice say it to you. So where are you abiding today? Abide means to patiently wait with. Abide in your fear. Abide in the daily news that comes your way and can, oh my goodness, it can shock us constantly. Abide in constant distraction and preoccupation. You know, one of the saddest things for me as a priest is to see that people actually spend most of their time these days abiding in their mobile phone. Wow. So the majority of their life is here in a distraction, in the screen, and that becomes their heart preoccupation. That's their life. How tragic. How tragic. We need to free ourselves from that. I heard on the radio the other day a wonderful wise gentleman who rang in. He said, you know, the problem with mobile phones is they've instructed us to look down. And we were made to look up. Got it? Made to look up. We're made for a greater purpose. So, my words, my love. If you really took this on board, it could change your life today. You could go back home and be a different person. You could live freely and have a real joy. You could skate again like Sam did. Because you'd have your skates on the right feet. Whoa, easy. Because you realize the power of his word to sustain and change you and live in your life and renew you. And you've suddenly discovered the real power of prayer, because it tells me who I am, child of God. And you live freely. So don't wither. Stay with it if you can. Do something about it, please. We can amend our ways. You can change. Things can be different. As you go out of here today, as we receive the sacrament, in a minute we will abide with him in the sacrament. We will wait patiently with. And to finish, thank you, Coolin and Chris. Because you waited patiently with each other. So keep going. You've abided. My words. Daily. Are you going to do it? We can help you with reading patterns. And can you really discover, really finally, the power of prayer? But I've just been coming to church for all these years and I never knew it, Lord. You didn't abide. You didn't wait patiently with. When you do, it's transformative. Sometimes, to finish, Barbara and I, who we pray in the early hours of the morning, something will come our way. Can't sleep. And so we just bring it to God. Together in bed, we talk and bring it to God. We wait patiently, we abide. That's become our life. When you do this, Kemi can go back to work tomorrow. She does a wonderful job at Hillenden Hospital, senior position there. She can be the person, despite the chaos around, she can be the one that abides. You too can as well. It's transformative. If you really get it, amen.
Let us pray. It is time for tending our gardens, Lord, digging, weeding, pruning, but also a place where we can relax, smell the flowers heavy scented on the still air, watch the play of light on bright colours, stroll in the soft shade of protecting trees, and under it all, the strong purpose of life. Cell on cell, building, growing in ceaseless rhythm. You created an ordered world, Lord, calling for prayer and quiet praise. But we have not always taken care with its resources, not always respected its beauty. Help us, Lord Jesus, to protect your world in which we live and to truly value the creation which we see all around us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember your garden, Lord, at Gethsemane. No roses there, just sweat and blood. Thorns in abundance, soon to be round your head. Anguish, derision, rejection, and soon a tree, newly cut, holding your body. Stony ground, Lord, and yet you raised a rich crop. From tears sprang joy, from blood, new life. Seeds of hope grown in love and sacrifice. From weakness, strength to overcome the world. But our world now is in desperate need of your divine intervention. Today we lift our voices in prayer for world peace and healing. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you tend the wounds caused by violence, terrorism, war, and oppression, and that you bring consolation to those who are suffering and grieving. Pour out your healing touch upon broken communities and nations, and give strength to those who work tirelessly for peace and justice. May your love and grace bring restoration and renewal to every corner of our world. And we ask that comfort and peace flow like a river, transforming lives and then populations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are struggling, Lord, with financial difficulties, family problems, with frailty and with illness. We remember especially today Jan, and we pray for Sue Brown, Robinson and Rabina Isisny, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, and Angela Zadurian. And we pray for the families and friends of Eliza Haig, Peter Douse, Ethel Williams, Philip Robinson, Evelyn Roderick, Maria Wooder, and Eileen Younger, whose anniversaries occur at this time. We pray, Lord, for all who are suffering, that they may, in their weakness, experience comfort in the joy of your resurrection. We also remember especially today Coolin and Chris in their golden celebrations, and Michael and Rennie before their Friday wedding. Lord, as you have opened for us the gate of everlasting life, help us to live life to the full. May we help others to extend their vision to take all opportunities that are given. Bless our homes and our loved ones, and make us useful members of the communities in which we belong. And help us to rejoice in the freedom of your presence and in the joy of the Easter story. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, we ask that you help us put our skates on the right feet. Help us when we are struggling. Help us to abide patiently and to wait in the Word. Lord Jesus, lift us from doubt to faith, from despair to hope, from war to peace, and from death to life. We are all a child of God. Take us, renew us, and remake us, that we might live for you, our glorious, wounded, risen Lord. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.